worldview divide in the midterm elections. That is a topic we'll discuss today right here on the Christian Worldview Radio program, where the mission is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news that all people can be reconciled to God through repentance of their sin and faith in Jesus Christ. I'm David Wheaton, the host of the program, and our website is thechristianworldview.org. Now, recently on the program, we have discussed how wide the worldview divide has become in our nation. On one side, there are those with a traditional American worldview. They generally believe in God, more limited government, free market economics, equal opportunity for all, national sovereignty and border control, heterosexual morality and marriage, and individual liberties of life, speech, and religion. President Trump and Republican Party candidates generally align with this worldview. On the other side are those who have a socialistic worldview. They are mostly secular or religiously pluralistic. They believe in a regulating, redistributing, expansive government, equal outcomes for identity groups based on race and gender, class, sexuality, loose immigration policies, homosexual transgender morality, and a woman's right to abortion. Former President Obama and the Democrat Party candidates generally align with this worldview. So if you mute the rhetoric coming from both sides leading into this heated midterm election on Tuesday, November 6th, the choice really comes down to candidates who support Americanism on one side or support socialism, which the dictionary defines as, quote, in Marxist theory, the stage following capitalism in the transition of a society to communism, characterized by the imperfect implementation of collectivist principles, unquote. This weekend on the Christian Worldview, Robert Knight, columnist for the Washington Times, joins us to discuss the worldview divide in the midterm elections and what's at stake. Now, before we get to the interview with Robert Knight, I thought it'd be good to gain some perspective on the election so we don't let the election become the most important thing going on in the country right now. As a matter of fact, I interviewed John MacArthur earlier this week, and we're going to be airing that program either next weekend or the following. And the interview is on his new book, Christ's Call to Reform the Church. And interestingly enough, in the introduction to the book, there is actually something about politics. So I'd like to read a few paragraphs from that and then get to the interview with Robert Knight. So John MacArthur starts out by saying, in the book of Revelation, Jesus wrote seven letters to cities in Asia Minor. He didn't write them to City Hall. He wrote them to the church. Let that sink in for a moment. In the closing chapters of Scripture, the Lord did not set his church on a mission to, quote, redeem the culture. He didn't advise his people to leverage political power to institute morality or to protest the rule of immoral men. In fact, he didn't launch a social revolution or devise a political strategy of any kind. The church today, and particularly the church in America, needs to understand that God has not called his people out of the world simply to wage a culture war with the world. We're not meant to gain temporal ground like some invading force working to superficially, quote, turn this country back to God, unquote. He goes on to say that believers need to understand that what happens in America politically and socially has nothing to do with the progress or the power of the kingdom of God. Cultural change can't accelerate the kingdom's growth, nor can it hinder it. Christ's kingdom is not of this world, John 18:36. Then he goes on to say this, that's not to say I'm dismissive of our democratic process or ungrateful to have a voice in it. It's a great blessing to have a vote and to be able to support biblical standards of morality. Many Christians throughout the history of the church have lived through far worse circumstances than ours, with no legal means to do anything about it. That's from John MacArthur's new book, Christ's Call to Reform the Church. And we'll be hearing from him in that interview in a coming week on the program. We actually have one soundbite later in this program from that interview. All of which to say, as we discuss this midterm election coming up with Robert Knight, let's just have the right perspective that we as Christians should be informed about the issues. We should be engaged politically. We absolutely should vote and take advantage of that incredible privilege. We should stand and speak from a biblical perspective on the issues of our day. Yet realizing that while political victories make a better country to live in, political gains do not fulfill the Great Commission, and political losses do not hinder God's plan to save souls. So pray and be engaged and vote, knowing that whatever the result, God's plans and purposes march right along on his timetable, and how good it is for Christians to be able to rest in that. So keeping that perspective in mind, let's get to the first segment of the interview with Washington Times columnist Robert Knight as we discuss the worldview divide in these midterm elections. And just a quick apology before we get to that, that I've been struggling with some sort of upper respiratory illness for about a week or so. And when I did the interview with Robert a few days ago, I had a particularly bad day. So just bear with me, feeling a little bit better now, but it's never fun to listen to someone struggling with their voice. All right, here's the first segment of the interview with Robert Knight. Many folks I've heard in the media are calling this upcoming midterm election the most important midterm election in history. Do you think that's the case? And if so, why is that?
You know, a lot of people say that this is the most important midterm election in history. Maybe it is. We've thought so in 2010. We thought so in 2014. And we thought the 2016 election was huge, and it was huge, as it turned out. This is a crucial election. There's no doubt about it. What we're looking at right now is a clash of worldviews. And because of the Republicans took Congress in 2016 and the White House, and President Trump basically threw a log in front of the freight train that the political left has been riding for decades, really expanding government, pushing their radical social agenda and so forth. This election comes down to, do you want to retain the Republican reaction against all that and be in favor of lower taxes, fewer regulations, a saner social approach, more spending for the military, and above all, the big issue, protection of the borders and restoration of a immigration policy that won't allow massive illegal immigration. Those are all on the ballot. When you vote Democrat or Republican, you're either going to vote for stopping the reforms and reverting back to, say, a Nancy Pelosi-type government, or you'll be voting to retain what's going on now, which is a whole series of reforms on everything imaginable. So it really is an important election, and I do happen to think it's crucial. I think it could go either way, but I think it's pretty clear the Republicans will retain the Senate and probably increase their margin in the Senate, and maybe by several seats, which could bode well for future Supreme Court appointments.
What are the key races that you're going to be watching that'll be bellwether as to how this is going to go?
In the Senate in particular, you've got 10 Democrats who ran in states that President Trump carried pretty handily. They're all very vulnerable, some of them more than others. You've got Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota. She's very vulnerable. It looks like she's probably going to be defeated. You've got Claire McCaskill, sitting senator in Missouri. She's going up against the Attorney General Josh Hawley. As far as the House, you've got 73 competitive seats in the U.S. House now, and these are considered a toss-up between either party, according to the Cook Political Report. Now, the GOP, which controls the House right now, can only afford to lose 17 seats overall. And then if they do, then you'll see Nancy Pelosi as the next House Speaker. There are 25 Republican seats in districts that were won by Hillary Clinton. So a lot of those are toss-up seats now. But there are other seats that where the Democrats are vulnerable because of these huge issues that have been late breaking. There are three of them. One, the roaring economy. Jobs have been added. I won't go into the whole litany of good economic news, but it's very big. The economy is growing at a 3% rate, and during the Obama years, they said realistic to assume we'll never be above 2%. Thousands of jobs have been added. The stock market is having its ups and downs, but is overall pretty healthy. That usually bodes well for the party in power. But the two other issues are huge. One was the Brett Kavanaugh Senate nomination, when the political left, including senators at the hearings, went crazy, acted very badly and encouraged the mobs. And then you've seen the mob activity across the land, where the left-wing mobs are assailing Republicans in public places. And you had Representative Maxine Waters egging them on, saying, get in their faces. Americans don't like that. They think it's unfair. It's kind of revealed the left's very ugly side. I think that will bring a lot of conservative voters out who might not have been motivated otherwise. And then you finally have the migrant caravan heading toward America, or they're in America. They're heading toward the United States. That is probably the central issue right now, because people are saying, wait a minute, the way the law is set up, when you can just claim asylum at the border and have to be let in for a hearing, and then they disappear before the hearing into America, a lot of Americans are highly motivated to say that somebody's got to protect the border. The illegal immigration is out of control. This constitutes pretty much an invasion of the United States. No other country will put up with this. And of course, President Trump has doubled down trying to eliminate birthright citizenship. But immigration was the big issue in 2016. I think it will be the big issue in 2018, and I think it will bode well for the Republicans unless something bad happens, such as the migrant caravan reaching the border and then their violence breaking out somehow. In that case, President Trump would be blamed no matter what happens. The media would magnify it and make him out to be an ogre. I think that's what the left is counting on, because right now the migrant caravan is an issue none of them want to talk about. They're terrified of the issue. They know most Americans are dead set against it, and so they're keeping quiet. Their best bet is if something terrible happens. Not that they're wishing it. I'm not accusing them of that, but I'm saying it would bode well for them if that happened.
Robert Knight with us today on the Christian Worldview, a columnist for The Washington Times. He's also the author of some books, A Nation Worth Fighting For and A Strong Constitution. And you can get in contact and get on his distribution list by emailing him at robertknight4@gmail.com. Let's say, Robert, that the Democrats win just the House, the U.S. House. How real is the possibility of the next 2 years being spent on impeaching President Trump? All right, Robert Knight will answer that question after this first break of the day here on the Christian Worldview radio program as we discuss the worldview divide in the midterm elections coming up on Tuesday, November 6th. We have much more to get to today, so stay tuned. I'm David Wheaton, and you're listening to the Christian Worldview radio program. Social justice is a gospel issue. This has become the mantra of many evangelicals. Rectifying perceived inequities of race, gender, sexuality, poverty, immigration, amongst others, is considered a top priority. But what exactly is social justice? Is working for social justice a biblical mandate, an application of the gospel? Kel Beisner has written an insightful booklet entitled Social Justice: How Good Intentions Undermine Justice and Gospel. Also included in this revised 44-page booklet is a copy of the just-released Statement on Social Justice and the Gospel. You can order the Social Justice booklet for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
The mission of the Christian Worldview is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news that all people can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. For when Christians have a stronger faith and when unbelievers come to saving faith, lives and families and churches, even communities, are changed for the glory of God. The Christian Worldview is a listener-supported ministry. You can help us in our mission to impact hearts and minds by making a donation of any amount or becoming a monthly partner. All donations are tax deductible. You can give online at thechristianworldview.org or by calling us toll-free 1-888-646-2233. When you give, we'd like to thank you by sending you a current resource. Monthly partners can choose to receive resources throughout the year. Call 1-888-646-2233 or go to thechristianworldview.org. Thank you for your support.
Thanks for joining us today here on the Christian Worldview radio program. I'm David Wheaton, the host, and our website, as always, is thechristianworldview.org. If you haven't signed up for our annual letter, I would encourage you to do so in the near future, as we're going to be mailing out our once-a-year annual letter with the accompanying resource catalog this month in November. And you can do that by going to our website, thechristianworldview.org, at the same place you sign up for our weekly email. You know, one new element of the Christian Worldview that we just launched this past week is called TCW, as in the Christian Worldview, Short Takes. And you'll be hearing more about this, but basically the short takes are going to be bite-sized highlights of the most newsworthy content from the latest broadcast. Well, today in the program, Robert Knight, columnist for the Washington Times, is our guest. And we're talking about the worldview divide in these upcoming midterm elections. Let's get back to the second segment of the interview with Robert Knight. Let's say, Robert, that the Democrats win just the House, the U.S. House. How real is a possibility of the next 2 years being spent on impeaching President Trump?
That's a very real possibility. It's unlikely the Republicans will lose the Senate. In fact, they're going to increase their numbers. But the House is a toss-up right now. And if the Democrats get it, and they win it only by one seat, that changes all the committee chairmanships. The net effect will be to stop the current Republican investigations into the misuse of power by the FBI and the IRS and other federal agencies. The whole Russia investigation will take on a different tint. And certainly there'll be no investigation into the many Clinton scandals that are still brewing out there, from emails to working with the Russians to conjure up that investigation that the security agencies undertook after looking at the cooked up dossier that the Democrats paid for. I mean, that's a huge scandal that still hasn't been addressed fully, but that'll all come to a crashing end if the Democrats take over. And then they will start. Several of them have announced that they want to impeach President Trump. They really don't have any high crimes or misdemeanors to point to, but they believe that the Constitution is flexible enough to allow impeachment for any reason that the House thinks the president is unfit for office. And I think a lot of Democrats think President Trump is unfit for office for two reasons. One, he's very effective in battling them, and that really, really annoys them. And two, he's very acerbic. He goes out of his way to offend his enemies. He has castigated the press. He tweets constantly. They think that's evidence of unfitness. The president would say, "Nope, I'm just poking the lion, getting him upset and getting a reaction in return." However you feel about it, I do think if the Democrats take the House, you will see a variety of investigations into the Trump finances and probably calls for impeachment.
Again, Robert Knight with us today in the Christian Worldview. You mentioned some of the dramatic events that have been leading up to this election and the press coverage of them. For instance, the Kavanaugh confirmation process to the U.S. Supreme Court, the immigrant caravan coming from Central America, more recently mail bombs being sent to Democrat leaders, and then, of course, the tragedy that occurred at the synagogue in Pittsburgh with many people shot and killed. I'd like to play a soundbite for you, Robert, from MSNBC, Chris Hayes' program called All In. He was interviewing a man named Steve Schmidt. I believe he's a former Republican strategist. And this two-minute soundbite draws a straight line between the violent things that have been happening right directly to the fault of President Trump. Here's the soundbite.
With me now, MSNBC contributor and now former Republican strategist Steve Schmidt, co-host of the Words Matter podcast, which is a apt title. How did we get here?
Well, however we got here, we're here, and where we are is at an unprecedented place in American history. We have never had a president of the United States do what this president is doing. He is stoking a cold civil war in this country, and it has turned hot on the periphery. This man, Bowers, what he said was when he went in, he said, "I can't sit by and watch my people get slaughtered. Screw the optics. I'm going in." And he went in to kill Jews. The Jews he believed that were financing the caravan, the invading army, like a panzer division that is threatening the southern border, an army that is racked and riddled with disease. The same type of rhetoric, the same type of propaganda that you would have seen in Germany in 1938, the dehumanization, turning people into infested vermin. What Trump is doing is stoking and inciting, for the purposes of political power, the worst amongst us to take action in his name. We have a situation where, but by for the grace of God, the largest mass assassination attempt in American history was avoided that targeted, amongst them, two former presidents of the United States. Every one of those people was a target of Donald Trump's. And this man, a fanatic, was radicalized by Fox News, by talk radio, by a right-wing propaganda machine that is as sophisticated as it has turned deadly.
Okay, that was Steve Schmidt on MSNBC. And as I watched this segment, I was just in complete jaw-dropping disbelief that he could draw a straight line from the mail bomber to the synagogue assassinations, shootings, right to President Trump. But this has been the narrative both on MSNBC and also on CNN as well. What do you make of this media climate right now leading into this midterm election?
Well, Steve Schmidt is part of a ruling elite. He was the chief strategist for Senator McCain's failed presidential campaign. I recall when he was encouraging the Republican Party to adopt same-sex marriage as a good thing, and maybe even come out in favor of it. So he's morally, the man is with the ruling elite who want to overhaul America's traditions, our morals, everything. His description of the current violent atmosphere out there as completely a manifestation of President Trump is an obscene smear, I believe. I think it's a slander. He drew a straight line not only between those incidents and President Trump, but right to Adolf Hitler, bringing up the Nazis. I mean, that's the kind of over-the-top rhetoric that the left has favored for years. When he said this was the largest mass assassination attempt, what about the attempted mass shooting at the Republican congressional baseball practice at which House Majority Leader Steve Scalise was wounded and almost killed? Except for the valiant efforts of his bodyguards, they might have taken out a couple dozen people, or that shooter who was enraged and motivated by Bernie Sanders' rhetoric, arguably, because he was a big Sanders supporter. You have the Black Lives Matter movement preaching violence against police. You saw the mobs attacking Republicans out at dinner and in the halls of Congress and scratching on the doors of the Supreme Court. I mean, the left uses violence as one of its tactics. And to say that it's all President Trump's fault is absurd, and it shows how the ruling elites are situated in both parties and why President Trump was running against the establishment. Steve Schmidt is a perfect example of the Republican establishment who's perfectly willing to use the left-wing media to attack people in his own party and the leader of his own party. I'm not sure he has a party anymore, and he shouldn't after this.
Robert Knight with us today on the Christian Worldview radio program, a columnist for the Washington Times, and also the author of A Nation Worth Fighting For and A Strong Constitution. Those two books can be ordered by emailing him at robertknight4@gmail.com. In your last answer, you referred to the worldview on the left, and you've written how cultural Marxism is the animating worldview on the left today. How would you explain that?
After the Russians overthrew the monarchy back in 1917 and ushered in the first communist country, Vladimir Lenin thought that the world would soon be overwhelmed by communist revolutions, as predicted by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, because the workers of the world would unite and there would be an economic revolution. That did not happen. And so the Marxists decided that they had to change cultures instead. There was a cry called Capture the Culture by Marxist Italian named Gramsci. And the cultural Marxists have been doing that ever since. They've captured the educational institutions, the media, Hollywood, and they've been pushing this relentless line that America is the problem in the world, that America was uniquely fallen because we had slavery, which much of the world did also, but it's America's unique evil. And that America must fall in order for an age of absolute equality and tolerance and so forth arise. That's the narrative. That's the Bernie Sanders narrative, that we have to embrace socialism. We have to get rid of capitalism. We have to overhaul America, basically change it beyond recognition. And that used to be a element of the Democratic Party and the liberal ranks, but now it's the overriding philosophy, unfortunately. You find very few centrist or moderate Democrats anymore, and that's because the leftists have cowed them out of the party. Many of them have become Republicans. What their plan is very simple. Flood the United States with illegal immigrants, press for citizenship, at the same time hook them on dependency, getting them hooked on government aid of all kinds, and then create a permanent Democratic constituency that will reliably pull the lever for Democratic candidates who promise more and more largesse from taxpayers.
Okay, Robert's not finished with his answer on cultural Marxism, so we'll take our second break of the day and then hear the rest of his answer after this on The Christian Worldview. I'm David Wheaton.
In his DVD, The Death of Discernment, Mike Gendron uses this apt analogy from A.W. Tozer.
Red cells are like faith. They carry life-giving oxygen to every part of the body. White cells, on the other hand, are discernment. They pounce upon dead and toxic matter and carry it out of the body. Each member in the body of Christ is a white blood cell. We need to identify doctrinal error and make sure it gets out of the body. That's the only way that the body of Christ can remain strong.
The Death of Discernment DVD contains two messages by Mike Gendron. You can order it for a donation of any amount to The Christian Worldview. Normal retail is $15 plus shipping. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
Be sure to take advantage of two free resources that will keep you informed and sharpen your worldview. The first is the Christian Worldview Weekly Email, which comes to your inbox each Friday. It contains a preview of the upcoming radio program, along with need-to-read articles, featured resources, special events, and audio of the previous program. The second is the Christian Worldview Annual Print Letter, which is delivered to your mailbox in November. It contains a year-end letter from host David Wheaton and a listing of our store items, including DVDs, books, children's materials, and more. You can sign up for the weekly email and annual print letter by visiting thechristianworldview.org or calling 1-888-646-2233. Your email and mailing address will never be shared, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Call 1-888-646-2233 or visit thechristianworldview.org.
Think biblically and live accordingly. That's what we try to do each week here on the Christian Worldview radio program. I'm David Wheaton, the host. Our website is thechristianworldview.org. Just a reminder, as we get near the end of the year here, to take advantage of some of the resources we offer in our store on our website. There are books and DVDs and children's resources and all sorts of things there, and they would make very good gifts as we head toward the end of the year. So you can check out the store at thechristianworldview.org. We also have some of our current offers going on for a donation of any amount. The Social Justice Booklet, also the DVDs and the Death of Discernment and Apostasy, all those are available at thechristianworldview.org. Well, today in the program, leading up to the midterm elections on Tuesday, November 6th, we're talking with Robert Knight, a columnist for the Washington Times, about the worldview divide that's put on full display in this midterm election. And before the break, I was asking Robert about how cultural Marxism has become such a baked-in part of the Democrat Party today. And here's the rest of his answer to that question.
You find very few centrist or moderate Democrats anymore. And that's because the leftists have cowed them out of the party. Many of them have become Republicans. What their plan is very simple. Flood the United States with illegal immigrants, press for citizenship, at the same time hook them on dependency, getting them hooked on government aid of all kinds, and then create a permanent Democratic constituency that will reliably pull the lever for Democratic candidates who promise more and more largesse from taxpayers. There was a Marxist couple who formulated a strategy to put so many people on welfare that it would crash the system and necessitate the government taking over everything. It's called the Cloward-Piven strategy. And that's pretty much the philosophy of the liberal left today. There is no limit to how much largesse they want to give away for so-called for free, from free tuition to free medical care to somebody's got to pay for all this. They know that we can't, so it would crash the system. Someone once said you can't have open borders and a generous welfare system because, of course, it would be a magnet for millions of people and would overwhelm the system. That seems to be what's happening now. And David, your original question, is this the most crucial election in our history? Well, it's right up there because that's what's at issue. If the left gets hold of the Congress, then the attempt to retain border control will disappear. And I imagine we'll just see more caravans from Central America until finally, I hate to think what will happen at the border because no nation can permit millions of people to come in. In Germany, they did that with immigrants from North Africa and the Middle East, and now Germany is in the midst of a crisis. They've got a million Muslims who will not assimilate and are causing all sorts of problems. And the Chancellor of Germany, Angela Merkel, has announced her retirement. She's so unpopular because she basically allowed a wave of immigration that will forever change Germany. Mm-hmm. We face the same problem here if nothing is done. And so, you know, when people go out and vote, in a very real sense, they're either voting to open the border or they're voting to close the border and retain our national sovereignty.
Right.
I think it's that crucial.
And that's why we entitled the show The Worldview Divide in the Midterm Elections, because the divide is very, very far apart from each other. Let's talk about one of the issues where there is this vast worldview divide, and the issue is transgenderism. And your most recent column is on that topic. The title of the column is Denying Reality at a Steep Price. And I'd just like to read the first several paragraphs and then follow up with a question for you. The idea of two distinct sexes has been acknowledged as fundamental reality for thousands of years by billions of people, biology, and every major religion. The Trump administration agrees which is why the Health and Human Services Department is circulating a proposal defining gender this way for purposes of interpreting Title IX of the Civil Rights Act. It says, the sex listed on a person's birth certificate as originally issued shall constitute definitive proof of a person's sex unless rebutted by reliable genetic evidence. Further, the determination should rest, quote, on a biological basis that is clear, grounded in science, objective, and administrable, unquote. Unsurprisingly, the Trump administration's straightforward return to sanity has triggered a hysteria unseen since a majority of Americans had the audacity to say out loud that marriage is the natural union of male and female. The dystopic left is apoplectic that anyone still dares to resist their distorted view of human sexuality. They know that most people know better but are afraid to say so. This is about much more than some people claiming to be the other sex and trying with the help of the media to rig the culture and legal system to their version of reality. It's a power struggle. The ruling elites aim to make us say that up is down, right is wrong, sweet is bitter, and life is death. That was from your column, Denying Reality at a Steep Price. How is this issue of transgenderism such a primary example of this worldview divide, this cultural Marxism taking place within the Democrat Party at this particular time?
Well, I think the left is using the poor transgender people as a battering ram against reality. They're basically saying, look, we want to put people in a position where they're not allowed to tell the truth anymore unless it's the way we want it. We want to empower the government and the culture to force people to say something that they know in their hearts isn't true. If we get that much power, we can make them do or say anything. That's why the transgender issue has to be looked at as something far larger than a tiny percentage of people who are sexually confused and are pressing to be recognized as the opposite sex. You know, in individual terms, it's a tragedy. All of these people should be approached with compassion, understanding, but not codependency. We shouldn't be forced into saying, yeah, Bruce Jenner really is Caitlyn Jenner. I think that's going too far. We know he's not a woman. His whole DNA, God doesn't confuse things, except in rare instances, and those rare instances don't override the general rule that God created two sexes, and that's validated throughout the Bible, and Jesus himself said, have you not heard? He created the male and female. For people to come along saying, no, not really, it's just all in your head. Forget biology. These are the same people who are saying that evangelical Christians are not scientific. They're know-nothings. Well, I'm afraid they're the current know-nothings because they're saying ignore science and do what we tell you, believe what we tell you, ignore your lying eyes. Well, I would tell people out there, don't ignore your lying eyes. Be kind, be considerate, but hold to the truth.
Amen. Robert Knight with us today on the Christian Worldview radio program. He's a columnist for the Washington Times. Why are evangelicals such an important voting bloc in all these elections recently? And what issues are a priority that evangelicals should be considering going into this election?
A lot of evangelicals were motivated in 2016 to turn out and vote, partly because of the makeup of the Supreme Court. They rightly reasoned that if Hillary Clinton won, then their religious liberty would be at risk because she would appoint a hard left justice to the Supreme Court to align with justices that have shown very little regard for religious liberty. But if a Republican became president, and in this case it was Donald Trump, who promised justices who would respect religious liberty, and that's exactly what has occurred. The president has appointed justices up and down the federal line who are constitutional conservatives, who respect the First Amendment. It's been a breath of fresh air in the courts, and the biggest one of all was Brett Kavanaugh at the Supreme Court. That puts the court firmly in a 5-4 position of constitutionalists versus four hardcore liberals. And, of course, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg will probably step down before too long. She's ill. She's aging. She's going to have to retire at some point, which will probably give President Trump another chance to appoint a judge. So evangelical Christians, if that was the only issue, that would still be worth motivating them to get out. 4 million more evangelical Christians voted in 2016 than in 2012. That's why there was such a difference. That's why the Republicans captured the House and Senate. And I think evangelicals, while they shouldn't confine themselves to one political party and be completely partisan, decided that one party better represented their most fundamental values: religious liberty, support for marriage, opposition to abortion. The Republican Party is officially pro-life. The Democrat Party is officially pro-abortion. For a lot of evangelicals, that's enough to help them decide what to do at the polls.
I don't know if you read the article by Pastor Tim Keller from New York City in the New York Times recently, saying that evangelicals should not feel that they have to be wedded to one party or the other. And he mentioned all these different issues like immigration and public school education and different issues, not mentioning abortion. In other words, the impression was evangelicals don't feel like you have to vote Republican. You can vote Democrat as well. Did you see that article, and what do you think that'll make a difference for evangelicals in this election? Robert Knight will answer that question after this final break of the day here on the Christian Worldview radio program. We are also going to play in the final segment one answer of an interview we did with John MacArthur earlier in the week on the division in America. I think you'll find that interesting as well. I'm David Wheaton, and you're listening to the Christian Worldview.
Here's Mike Gendron previewing his DVD on apostasy.
We'll see how apostasy is the result of Satan's relentless attacks on the church. We'll also look at four steps that characterize a church's drift into apostasy. Then we'll look at the history of the church, a chronological development of the Roman Catholic religion and its drift into apostasy. And lastly, and most importantly, what are you and I to do in the midst of this great apostasy and the growing ecumenical movement?
The DVD is titled Roman Catholicism's Drift into Apostasy and contains two messages. You can order it for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. Normal retail is $15 plus shipping. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
Social justice is a gospel issue. This has become the mantra of many evangelicals. Rectifying perceived inequities of race, gender, sexuality, poverty, immigration, amongst others, is considered a top priority. But what exactly is social justice? Is working for social justice a biblical mandate, an application of the gospel? Kel Beisner has written an insightful booklet entitled Social Justice: How Good Intentions Undermine Justice and Gospel. Also included in this revised 44-page booklet is a copy of the just-released Statement on Social Justice and the Gospel. You can order the Social Justice booklet for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. Final segment of the day here on the Christian Worldview radio program. I'm David Wheaton, the host, and thank you for joining us today. If you missed any of the interview with Robert Knight, you can always go to our website, thechristianworldview.org, and hear the rebroadcast. You can also sign up for our free podcast. Just go to your podcasting app on your phone or wherever you get your podcasts and search for the Christian Worldview, and that can come into your smart device every single week. We're also producing, as I mentioned earlier, just started this week, a new element called TCW, or the Christian Worldview, stands for the Christian Worldview Short Takes, which are going to be 2 to 3 minute highlights of 3 or 4 of the answers every given week on the latest broadcast of the Christian Worldview. We'll be featuring those on Facebook and Twitter and our website as well. And as we roll this out more, we'll let you know how you can receive those. This week, we're talking with Robert Knight, a columnist for the Washington Times, about the worldview divide in the midterm elections. And we have just a few minutes left with him, so let's get to the final moments with Robert Knight. And again, my apologies for my struggling voice when I did this interview a few days ago. I don't know if you read the article by Pastor Tim Keller from New York City in the New York Times recently, saying that evangelicals should not feel that they have to be wedded to one party or the other. And he mentioned all these different issues like immigration and public school education and different issues, not mentioning abortion. In other words, the impression was evangelicals don't feel like you have to vote Republican. You can vote Democrat as well. Did you see that article, and what do you think that'll make a difference for evangelicals in this election?
No, I think evangelicals will ignore voices that tell them to essentially remain neutral because we're in a time of crisis, a clash of worldviews. And I think most of them will have the brains and the motivation to vote for candidates who reflect biblical values. In most cases, that happens to be Republicans. In fact, if you live in a district where the Democrat is a good Christian or espouses values consistent with biblical Christianity, then I would say vote for that person. But overall, that's no longer the case. I mean, you used to find people like that, but right now the divide is so great. I did a review of both party platforms last time around in 2016. The Democratic platform has pretty much embraced socialism, anti-religious liberty point of view, a totally pro-abortion philosophy, right down to forcing taxpayers to pay for abortions, promoting it overseas. I mean, this is an abortion-loving party in very real terms. So I don't think Tim Keller did himself or Christians any favor with his column. And I've seen other efforts like that where the Christians will come along and say, oh, we're in a time of crisis, but let's not get carried away and actually back the side that might back our values. I think that's pretty poor advice, actually.
Well, Robert, we appreciate your coming on the program today and all your very insightful columns at the Washington Times. And we're looking forward to this midterm election, seeing which direction America will vote. And we just thank you again for coming on the program and wish all of God's best and grace to you.
Okay, same to you, David. It's an honor being on your program.
Okay, just a reminder that you can hear the rebroadcast of this program at our website, thechristianworldview.org. And then this week, look for the TCW short takes, where we take a few of the highlights from the interview. We'll post those on Facebook and our website, thechristianworldview.org. And you can also order Robert Knight's books by just emailing him directly. His email address is robertknight4, as in the number 4, at gmail.com. And you can also request his weekly column as well. Now, before we run out of time, I want to play one clip of an interview we did with John MacArthur earlier this week, where I asked him about a similar topic of division that we discussed today. Do you think the U.S. is as divided as it appears? And if so, what do you think is causing that division? And what do you think the path is to a more unified country?
Well, I don't know that they'll ever be a unified country. And I'll tell you what the dividing line became. It's not a spiritual dividing line, but it is a dividing line of convictions. And I remember the election of President Obama. I gave a message because for the first time, the Democrats had sin in their platform. For the first time in American history, their platform included abortion and homosexuality, homosexual rights, and same-sex marriage. It used to be the Democrats, you know, were the working class, the guys that were holding up the workers' end, and the Republicans were kind of the owners and the entrepreneurs, and it was kind of a bit of a social divide at that point. But in our lifetime, those two parties have split around moral issues. That's not to say that Republicans are moral or more moral, or even that the president is more moral. But there's a platform for a Republican Party that basically doesn't advocate sin. It has to tolerate certain things. That's the nature of politics. But I was astounded that in the platform of a party would be the slaughter of babies and the advocacy of homosexual lifestyle and same-sex marriage, which just is devastating on an entire culture. And, of course, eventually ends up in the reprobate mind, and that's when you don't even know what sex you are, or you're one sex today and another one tomorrow. That's insanity. When that becomes part of a platform, the divide is not just, it's not just economic. It is moral, and it goes deep into the hearts of people who don't agree on those kinds of behaviors. Now the divide just can't be resolved, because there are people who have Christian heritage and Christian tradition, not necessarily Christian people, but they've grown up in a tradition that reflects a biblical morality. And while they want to be tolerant, they don't want to imprison people who do those things. They're never going to advocate those. So I just think the divide has reached the moral level. And then you can add the other component. True Christians just cannot affirm the Democratic Party. It's hard for them in some cases to even affirm the Republican Party, because there are issues there too, but they're not nearly as blatantly attached to sins that the Scripture condemns. So I think that divide is so deep, I don't know how you ever get that put back together. It's just too pronounced.
Next week or the following, we'll have the full interview with John MacArthur here on the Christian Worldview, but just wanted to play that, as I think it's important for everyone to keep in mind what he said as we head into these midterm elections. You know, 1 Timothy 2 says, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior." And so we do need to be praying and fasting leading into this election on Tuesday, that God would put those candidates who revere Him and honor His ways in positions of political influence in this country. So with the midterm elections before us, until next time on the Christian Worldview, think biblically and vote accordingly.
We hope today's broadcast turned your heart toward God, His Word, and His Son. To order a CD copy of today's program, or sign up for our free weekly email, or to find out how you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, go to our website, thechristianworldview.org, or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. The Christian Worldview is a weekly one-hour radio program that is furnished by the Overcomer Foundation and is supported by listeners and sponsors. Request one of our current resources with your donation of any amount. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233 or write to us at Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. That's Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. Thanks for listening to The Christian Worldview. Until next time, think biblically and live accordingly.